machlokes when it comes to other isurim, chelev, nevela, non-kosher food, davar isurim is the machlokes is chatsi shiur osam in atayra. It's machlokes, but everyone agrees that a mashu of chametz is osam in atayra, even a mashu. There's no chiyuv punishment of karis unless there's a shear. But everyone agrees that a mashu is awesome in our Torah, and that is the reason why we're so makbid. We're so makbid in chametz. The laws, the kashrus, the laws of kosher l'Pesach are extremely more severe and more stringent than the laws of kashrus for other matters. Bittul, all the, everything. This is a shulchan aruch in of itself of all the chumras of Pesach. That's because when it comes to Pesach, chametz is osur b'mashu. There's another halacha that's unique to Pesach. And not only are you not allowed to eat chametz, you are not allowed to possess bal yeroe u'bal yemotze. Yemotze. Bal yeroe, bal yemotze. You're not allowed to see it. Mm. You're not allowed to have it found in your possession. It's not enough just that you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to own it. It may not be owned. Not only may it not be owned, are you allowed to have in your possession the chametz of a non-Jew? Let's say a non-Jew gives you chametz and you can you just watch it for me? You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to keep in your possession chametz or sa'or that belongs to anyone, even a non-Jew. I don't own it. It's not mine. Is it in your possession? Yes, it is. You're not allowed to keep it in your possession. What are the gedarim? That's the machlekes. How far it goes, and what of the shiurim, I'm not familiar. That's a topic in and of itself. But these are the basic two yisoides. You're not allowed to eat chametz, and you're not allowed to possess chametz. Not even the chametz of someone else. Comes Pesach, what do? We clean the chametz, we eliminate it, we remove it, and then we have certain objects, certain things that are very expensive. We don't want to give it away. It's chametz, so we sell it to a non-Jew. Now, selling it to a non-Jew, okay, very good, so you sell it to the non-Jew, but even after you sell it, you're not allowed to possess it. It's not allowed to be in your house. So technically speaking, if you have chametz, let's say a box of Cheerios, and you just can't separate yourself from it. So you sell it to a guy. When you sell it to a guy, you have to take it out of the house. You have to put the box of Cheerios in the home of a non-Jew. A lot of the chametz that we sell is not really chametz. Chametz nuksha. It's not so easy to find chametz gomor. People have, not say you don't have. Okay, even liquor is chametz gomor. Most liquor and whiskey, all that stuff is really chametz nuksha. It's not. If a person would chashom eat it on Pesach, he would be chayiv kars. It's not chametz gomor. A lot of the whiskeys. It's called damaged. Nuksha is a hard word. Chametz nuksha. It's not chametz gomor. So, but it's still in the same halach supply. So you not only are you obligated to sell it to a guy if you want to get rid of it, you also are not allowed to store it in your possession. Tell the you bought it, take it with you. Take it with you. It's not allowed to be in my possession. Now, what do we typically do? Let's just cut to the chase. What do we typically do? And then we're going to discuss, analyze some of the things that are really all chiddush in what we do, is we collect all of our chametz, we put it in a specific location, in a closet, in cabinets, in a room, and we close the door, and we go to the rabbi, we tell the rabbi, this is where the chametz is, and we want to sell everything in this room, in this cabinet, in this closet, in this area to a non-Jew. So a good rabbi will say to you, you know, it's not going to solve the problem. It'll be very good for you to go and sell it, but it's still in your possession. And don't you realize, just selling it, if you're not going to remove it out, call the moving company and make an arrangement with the guy to come pick it up, you're going to be in violation of Bal Yeroe, Bal Yemotze. Because it's still in your possession. And even though it's not yours, but it's still in your possession. And to a degree, you are responsible. And even if you're not responsible for it, it's in your possession. So I recommend that you go online and find a good moving company and make sure you send it away. It should not be in your possession. So sell it. I only do the selling for you. I'm not a moving company. You make sure that you get out of your house. And it should be in someone else's possession. That's not your possession for Pesach. So the person says, Rabbi, we hired you to solve all of our problems. We didn't just hire you to teach us Torah. We hired you to give us stock advice, to tell us, you know, which sports team to bet on. We hired you to solve all of our problems, including getting the chametz out of the house. So the rabbi says, I have a solution. The solution is we're going to sell your house. Not exactly, but at least we will rent. Schirus is kimechira. We will rent the location where the chametz is resting to a non-Jew. Wherever you have a cabinet, a closet, you know what? It's not yours. It's being leased or rented to a non-Jew for the duration of Pesach. So it's not your chametz anymore. You've sold it, and you've also rented the location where it's resting. So it's not in your possession. Okay, very good. Good solution. What else? By the way, before don't forget that even though I'm going to sell the chametz and I'm going to rent the location where it's resting, don't forget that before Pesach begins, don't forget to say kol chamira. Kol chamira v'chamira dika b'deshuse d'chazit l'chazite d'biarte u'deloi biarte. When you say d'biarte, it means also what you've sold to the guy. Don't forget, just because I'm selling all of your chametz and your house is spotless and you don't own any chametz in your house, don't forget you also have to recite the bittul. You're being mevatel all of your chametz, including the chametz dibiarte. According to some mefarshim, the word dibiarte is going on the chametz that you sold. Rabbi, we're paying you a salary to sell the chametz. And you're telling me that we have to rent the location where it's resting? We've done that. So why do I have to go? You're going to ruin my Pesach vacation. Do you realize Erev Pesach at 10 o'clock, I'm going to be playing golf at that moment in some beautiful golf course in Florida? I don't have time to say at that moment, kol chamira v'chamira dika b'reshuzi d'chazite u'deloi chazite d'bi'arte u'deloi bi'arte. I don't got time for that. That's what I'm hiring you to do. What do you mean? What do you mean? I have to go be mevatel my chametz if I already sold it? So what is the common? Well, the rabbi says, just in case the sale is invalid. Why would it be invalid? You know, that's what you're supposed to do for us. You never know. You never know who you can trust. Who knows? Just in case the sale is totally, totally invalid, I made a major mistake, I wrote the wrong date in the shtar, or I made the wrong kinyanim, maybe the guy is not a guy, maybe the guy turns out to be a Jew. Who knows? A lot of things can go wrong. Just in case, I still want you to be mevatel, the chametz that you're selling to the guy. So you should not be over on Bal Yeroha, Bal Yimotse, Bal Yeroha, but it's still going to be my possession. It's still going to be the thing, even if you don't own it, but it's still in your possession. So being in your possession is not as severe. For that, we'll rely upon the transaction. The transaction, it's a good question, but at least, you know, we're dealing with the Dover Chomer, Adam Oid Chomets, Bal Yeroha, Bal Yimotse. I want you to be Mevatalit, nevertheless. What I just told you now is the basic standard template. What's a boilerplate? Same thing. This is the basics.
Boilerplate is the standard language in a contract.
So if you were to decipher the Hebrew on the shtar that the rabbi gives the Gentile when they sign the documents, this is pretty much what it should say. Everything that I just told you. That is, you're selling the chametz and you are renting the location where it is resting. And just in case the transaction does not go through, for whatever the reason could be, who knows why? So, backup plan is the person's going to say, call Chamira. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, he had another minhag, is that the Bezdin that sells the chametz, they also are mevatlet for you with Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. They have three dayanim, they sit together, and after they go through the entire transaction with the Gentile, they make a declaration that just in case all of the chametz, the whole transaction didn't work, we here as a bezdin have the koyach to declare that the chametz that is in the possession of all of our balabatim, who have entrusted us with this task, we as a bezdin hereby declare their chametz hefker, null and void. They should not be over and bal yeiro, bal yeimotze. Another very big nafkamina is that after Pesach is over,
the rabbi is not actually taking theoretical position.
Oh, we're going to come to that. I never said he did. I never said that. We're going to come to that in 1 second. I'm telling you the basic, basically, the rabbi is an agent. Very good. The contract and the way it is understood is a very good point you're making. It's very critical. The rabbi is serving as an agent. The chametz belongs to the, you don't sell your chametz to the rabbi. I have to go now to the rabbi for mechiras chametz, I'm selling him my chametz. No, you're not. You're going to the rabbi to appoint the rabbi as an agent to sell your chametz to the guy. The chametz goes from the Gentile, from the Jew to the Gentile, not from the Jew to the rabbi to the Gentile. It skips over the rabbi. The rabbi is just the agent to make that transfer from the owner of the chametz to the goy.
So then you have to allow people to become a shliach of a shliach. In other words, you're making the rabbi a shliach, and then there's usually one bezdin rabbi. They all sell it.
Okay, they all right. Enochanami, the shliach of a shliach, that is correct, correct. Many, very few rabbanim actually do the actual transaction. They all come to a big rabbi, and the big rabbi does it for everyone. Absolutely correct. My father first became, my father used to go to the lower, we came to the Lower East Side and went to Rav Moshe Feinstein already at that time. Rav Moshe wasn't doing it anymore. Rav Nissen Alpert. Rav Nissen Abazir Levracha, he did it. I think the first Rav Moshe was sitting there and watching. He was too old to actually do it, but Rav Moshe was present. The next time Rav Moshe already wasn't present, and Rav Nissen, and basically the entire New York City, I can't say the entire, but a major chunk of New York City came to NTJ Erev Pesach and put on the table all of the shtaris, all of the shtar harsha, all of the documents where people wrote over what they're selling. And Rav Nissen Alpert sold the whole all the chametz in New York City to one guy.
Rav Pamzer used to go to Rav Chaim Yisachar Frankel right
now. On East 14th, East 14th Street. So you daven? Upstairs,
yeah.
Rabbi Frankel. So he sells the chametz to the guy.
Right.
Very good. Okay, very good. So
I witnessed also my rabbi called here on Ocean Avenue and the Gerash people, and there are like 5-6 rabbonim come and they give it
to him. Okay, there are certain people that are very popular who
Goy have to have access to the chametz.
Okay, we'll talk about some of that in a few moments. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. So this is what's basically done. Everything that I told you right now is really, I thought like, oh, this is the only way you're supposed to do it. Nothing is simple. Nothing is simple. Every single prat that I just told you is subject to a machloikis achroinim and if you, it's interesting, if you read the shtaris, and there are certain standard documents that they use, which probably no rabbi even read what it says inside of it. Now we're becoming a very firm world where now there are new people have already written updated documents in English, and it's becoming a science, a big topic of study to fully comprehend what exactly is going on. Mechiras Chametz touches upon so many things. It's a whole Shulchan Aruch in and of itself, every single element of Mechiras Chametz. Now let me go through some shocking things over here about Mechiras Chametz.
Commercial
Mechiras Chametz. Well, we don't need even to come on that. It's all really all the same. But that's just a chumr, you add that to the shtar. The commercial chametz is just a chumr, you're adding it to the shtar. But the whole transaction. Let's go through one thing at a time. First of all, as we I used to joke, you don't sell your chametz to the rabbi. You write, it's called a shtar harsha, a document of authorization. Everyone has experienced this, where you go and you write down on a piece of paper the location where the chametz is, what the chametz, what everyone has a different opinion of what should be on the shtar harsha, but basically is you write down where the chametz is stored. That's pretty much the most important thing. Where? Where your address, your home address, and where it's stored in the house, on the second floor, in the cabinet, in the closet, in the basement. Some rabbanim, they really go to town, and they want you to give them the keys to your house, and all of your credit cards, and all of, and the most important thing is your bank account numbers, and the password, and the password. They go to town, and they have all, and they want to know how, exactly what you're giving, and how much do you estimate it worth to be. I don't know, there's a lot of strange things I've seen over the years. Okay, fine, whatever it is. And the rabbi is just an agent to transfer what you have to the guy. Guess what? That's not so simple. There are some of the achrayim that talk about Mechiras Chametz, they clearly state that you are selling your chametz to the rabbi. And the rabbi, in turn, will then sell his chametz, which is now your chametz, to the guy. Isn't that amazing? You never heard that. I used to laugh. You're not selling your chametz to the rabbi. Guess what? Yes, you are. We don't do this today. We don't do this today. I don't know what people do. I can't tell you what people...
But the rabbi is a middleman as opposed to an agent.
The rabbi is a middleman. But the rabbi, not only a middleman, the rabbi is the principal. The rabbi, and this touched upon what Rav Dov just said. Mechiras chametz is serious business. If you possess in your possession chametz on Pesach, you're over Nolei Saseh. Bal Yeiro, Bal Yeimotzei. So how are you getting rid of it? So throw it in the garbage. No. I'm not going to throw this in the garbage. I can't do that. I need it. Okay, so we're going to sell it. Who says that selling Mechira, a transaction of Mechira, can be done through a Shliach? And even if it can be done through a Shliach, maybe between two Jews, maybe you make a Shliach, I appoint an agent, I want to sell you this bag of potato chips that Mayor Apple to put on the table over here. I want to sell you this bag. So maybe I can appoint shlichus. The din of shlichus applies with Jews. Kein torimu gam atem. There's a pasuk by Truma. Gam atem, that your agent is equivalent. I authorize you to be my agent. You now in turn can go and sell this bag of potato chips to someone, to whoever you want. And that's also a tremendous chiddush. Because let's say I find out that the person that you sold it to, I don't like him. I'm not on good terms with him. How dare you? My potato chips you sold to him? My arch enemy? Or that person, I don't like that person. Who can I go and cancel the agency?
Can I be a shliach?
That's another question. Can you make a guy? Generally not. Ain't shlichus la'akum. Here, the guy is not the agent. The guy is the destination. I am selling you this potato. I'm making you my agent to sell this bag of potato chips to a guy. I am not directly selling the potato chips to the guy. At the end of the day, the potato chips are going from me to the guy. I didn't do it. An agent did it. Does that really work in halacha? We have a halacha of agency. Kein terimu gam. Now, the classic case of agency is where I appoint an agent to be. I can only appoint a Jew to be my agent. I cannot appoint a goy to be my agent to sell it to someone else. Now, for example, everyone basically agrees. I have chametz. I go to a goy instead of going to a rabbi to sell my chametz. I go to the biggest expert in transactions, the best lawyer in the country. I go to a guy, and I tell the guy, here, I have chametz. I'll pay you $1,000 an hour. That's really cheap. I'll pay you $5,000 an hour to guarantee that the chametz I have in my possession is transferred to, not you, to another guy. You don't want to buy my potato chips, but another guy wants to buy the potato chips. So I'll pay you $5,000 an hour to make sure legally that my chametz is going to be sold to another guy. It seems it doesn't work. It seems it may work medina de malchus edina, but medina yisrael doesn't necessarily work. Not so partial that it works. I can't make a guy my agent to sell my assets. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Okay, he has pages and pages discussing this topic of kesef, Kesef, maybe it does work, other kinyanim. It's a very complicated sugya. And that's not our purpose right now. I do want to bring out some points that are very interesting to me, are totally mind-boggling to me. At the end of the day, assets are going from a Jew to a guy. And you're not doing it directly, because the average person does not know the intricate laws of how to make transactions between Jews and goyim. It's very complicated. They say, well, kinyan kesef, kinyan meshicha, kinyan shtar, simtusa, kinyan agav. It's very complicated laws. And when you, and those laws are complicated when you, it's done between two Jews. When you do it between a Jew and a goy, it's extremely more complicated. And you want to add into the mix that you're doing it through an agent? You're really stretching every siman in Chesha Mishpat to its limits.
They're the ones who are the experts on how to do it, my agent.
What?
My agent knows how to do it very well. Din
the Malchusa? Or your agent?
I'm talking about
the rabbi?
Yeah.
Well, he has to be trained. But who says it even works? Who says it even works? Every single thing in this topic is stretching the limits of the simonim shulchan aruch to an extreme. You're selling between metaltalin between a Jew and the destination is a Gentile. That itself is complicated. And you're doing it through another Jew.
Interesting. My star on it says, Ayin chayshe mishpat simen kufay beis or blah 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 sha'ois ha'shliach limkor ain't tzorach kinyan.
Well, that's talking about the Star Harshah. That's talking about the Harshah. You're talking about that you don't have to go pick up a handkerchief. You can do it online. You're talking about a different type of world. The authorization. The authorization, you go to the rabbi, just pick up the pen in order to pick up. You don't have to do that. That's a chumrah. You can go online to fill out a form. You don't have to make a kinyan to authorize. Power of attorney. Yeah, but power of... I know. We're very, very lenient, extremely lenient in all of these things, but these things are very, very complicated to make. It's not typical for many reasons. Number one, you're dealing with a dover chamur ad ma'od. You're dealing with chametz on Pesach, which touches upon the Isra of Karis. Number two, you're going between a Jew and a goy, not between a Jew and a Jew. Number three, there is an agent in the middle. You put those three things together, you're dealing with explosive stuff. And therefore, I told you in the beginning, we do it like second nature. You know, you go to the rabbi, finish and everything, you know, I told you the whole basic procedure. But it's not so simple. And therefore, when you hear someone say, I'm going to the rabbi to sell the rabbi my chametz, you know something? You know who said those words? A person over here, the nitzaitz of his great-great-grandfather just came out of his mouth. Because it's very, very possible that this person's great-great-grandfather probably did just that. Mm-hmm. In the old shtoros of this, the halacha of mechiras chametz, it seems, goes back 2,000 years. It's a psikta. It's a very interesting psikta, which is subject to a question of a mistake in the girsa. It's an extremely cryptic statement, which has a lot of commentary to explain what this statement means, but it definitely, everyone agrees, it means you're selling your chametz to a goy for Pesach. And what? Not in the Gemara, it's a psikta. It's not in the Gemara, but it's a psikta. It's a psikta. This is where it comes from. If we have time, we'll go to it, because it's very hard.
Rabbi Scroll, it only goes back a nice few hundred years to German Jews.
So that's what I thought also.
Beer merchants.
That's what I thought,
and
but
the people wanted to get in on the deal later.
That I thought that, but the truth is, it goes back earlier. If you want me to read it for you, let's see.
What's the citation?
Citation is, I'm sorry, not a psikta. What did I say? A Tosefta. I'm sorry. A Tosefta. It's even earlier. Tosefta Psachim. Perik Beis, Halacha Vav and Zayin. Shekasva, the Rosh quotes this Tosefta in Psachim, and the Psachim, and the words are Yisrael, the Goy, Shehayu B'Sfina, they're in a boat, V'chameitz B'yad Yisrael, Harehu Moicher L'Goy, the Jew can sell his chameitz to the Goy on the ship, they're stuck on a ship, Oy nois lebe matana, v'choizer v'loikeach mimenu achar ha-pesach. Beferish. Uvilvad, sheyitnenu lo b'matan gemuro, v'rishai, Yisrael sheyoymar l'goy. Now this is what's very cryptic. And the Yisrael is permitted to say to the goy the following statement. In other words, why in the world would a goy want to buy your chametz? The goy wants to buy your Cheerios?
Well, you just said matan gemuro.
Or, so he would, but first he says selling it, and the way you convince the guy to buy it, now these words need a whole share to explain what these words mean, you tell the guy the following words, ad she'ato lekeach b'moneh, instead of going to the store, to ShopRite, and buying chametz for $100, kach, take it from me, b'mosayim for $200. What? What does that mean? What does that mean? Shema etzra etzorech, because maybe I'll need it one day, ve'ekach mimcha, and I'll buy it from you achar ha-pesach. What?
With the prophet.
Oh, so you're giving interpretation. You're already giving an interpretation to this. One thing is clear, though, in this Tosefta. You're selling your chametz to the guy for Pesach, and you're buying it back. This is beferish, with the plan. And if the guy doesn't want to buy it for you for 7-8 days, tell him, we'll make sure
you won't lose out.
So right away, people, harama, what are you doing over here? Guess what? This goes back 2,000 years. Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. This itself is a makar, a tosefta. This is not, I thought like you, this goes back 400, 500, 600 years, like you're saying. No, it's mamish a tosefta. It's a tosefta, this goes back. The way it developed and all the details of the shtar and the technique and all the different things, that's going back, it wasn't practical.
Well, the idea was, but it wasn't practical.
Right. It first became widespread. It first became a widespread practice in Klal Yisrael, whatever it is, 500 years ago, something like that. But the concept existed back 2,000 years ago. It's a Tosefta. All right, before, let's go back there. So first of all, we have to appreciate when you are going to the rabbi and you're authorizing the rabbi, that the rabbi should be your agent in transferring your chametz to a Gentile of his choosing, is a very complicated halacha, and we're dealing with a dover that is chomur ad ma'od, chometz on Pesach. There's a chiv karis for eating chometz. It's also b'mashu. Indeed, it's only bal yir bal yimotze, what we're trying to avoid over here, but it's a dover chomur ad ma'od, and you're getting involved with a Jew and a goy and a shliach in the middle. Whoa! You really need to know Chosha Mishpah before you start playing around here.
Why can't we say that in a Torah, Midraisa, nobody wants to have chametz?
So what?
So Bittul Ba'alma takes away
the... So who says? Okay, well, you're saying something. We'll come to that in a second. Well, hold off on that second. One second. Yes, a blazer.
Sounds like it's a commercial enterprise. You're selling, you're buying.
It sounds like a harama. It's so, deception.
Yeah, so how is playing in the laws of the land?
Dina Chusadina? There's another good question.
Because we had a shiur once in Kingsway about the problems of selling alcohol. You have to pay taxes each time you transfer the alcohol.
All year round?
Taxes? Anytime you sell alcohol.
Even privately?
If you don't pay the taxes,
you're a criminal. You're a criminal, and the sale is null and void. And you and Dina the Malchus and Dina, you still own it. You're saying good.
It's,
you're saying very good. Yeah. What?
It's a possession of place.
So all the it's owned by
he doesn't want to sell the
Chometz to the Chomesh over Pesach.
I have to pay taxes. That's why there's a whole segment of the Mishnah.
They will not Chometz over Pesach. Okay, so you're saying okay, one thing at a time. I want to do one little part at a time, because every single part of Mechiras Chametz is literally explosive. So this is just the one thing at a time. First, appreciate the most big. You go into the rabbi. What are you going to the rabbi for? So people, everyone would joke, I'm going to sell the rabbi my chametz. So everyone would laugh. You're not selling the rabbi your chametz. The rabbi doesn't need your Cheerios. He doesn't want your chametz. You're going to the rabbi to authorize the rabbi to sell your chametz to the guy.
You're not even selling, you're doing an option.
Oh, so you're saying, one thing at a time. So right away, every little thing that you touch over here is a can of worms. You're opening up a whole world of trouble. So right away, you should be aware, if you learn Bava Kamma well, you have an appreciation that the technique of selling metaltalin, movable items, objects, between a Jew and a guy is very different than the way you sell it between a Jew and a Jew.
Absolutely.
It's very complicated halachas. Number two, anytime you get an agent involved, it's a nightmare. Agency is a very complicated sugya in Shas. Number three, you're putting the agency together with a guy. That requires you to take pause and understand exactly what exactly is going on over here. Because you cannot make a guy your agent. I cannot make a guy my agent. That doesn't work. So if I'm making a rabbi to be my agent, but the destination is a guy, that means there is a guy involved in the sequence. Does that change anything in the rules of agency? So you'll say, of course not. Why not? We take everything for granted today. Today, everything, we're so brainwashed. Of course it's mutter. But there's a process in halach of how you get to this. There is a problem. And when you're dealing with the chumrois of Pesach, if you're paying $36, $37 a pound of hand matzah, obviously people that are willing to pay that kind of money, they're very sensitive to the laws of Pesach, and they want it to be done correctly. So in ancient times, I don't know what you want to call ancient times, he writes over here incredible things that in some of the old shtaros, in some of the rabbinic literature, as Rabbi Rakefer would say, the way the Gedolei Yisrael of previous generations would talk is, when you take advantage of what it says here in this Tosefta, to sell your chametz to the guy, you know what, do it perfectly. And don't get involved in the different difficulties in Shulchan Aruch. You know what, sell it to the rabbi. Jew to Jew, peer to peer, P2P, sell the chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi now owns all of your chametz. He is the owner of your chametz. I'm no longer the owner. The rabbi owns the chametz. Now the rabbi owns the chametz. So when the rabbi sells the chametz to the guy, it's a direct transaction, which in the world of halacha is much better. It's much more solid. Person goes to a doctor, you go to the best. You don't want the fellow's substitute to go do the surgery. You have a surgeon, you go to the surgeon. I don't want your fellow, a kid out of medical school, he's going to do the surgery on me. I'm coming to you the best. No, he's good. I'm be playing golf that day. And by the way, my fellow, you know, he has a tendency to wake up late. So if he doesn't come, you know, there'll be a medical student that will do it for you. That's what I'm coming to you for. I want the best. So on halacha, it's any different. You want to go make use of all these kulas? You sell the chametz to the rabbi. Peer to peer. That's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which is clear. Jew to Jew. Now, after you go from Jew to Jew, the rabbi goes from Jew to guy. It's much better. You avoid a lot of difficulties in the world of halacha like this. Now, what I'm telling you now is unheard of. But why is it unheard of? Obviously, it's too complicated. And we're happy we do the way we do it.
It sounds like it's
too calm, because whatever. We don't do it like that. I'm just telling you things that are just for entertainment purposes. This is not practical halacha. Don't go to your rabbi. I'm telling you. But I was shocked to see this. To me, it's mamish. Wow! Taka, they used to do it like this. And the taka makes more sense. And what we do today is because, you know, everything today is commercialized, you know, one size fits all, so we do it in different, we do it another way. Okay, the next thing. Okay, the next thing is, I told you, you don't sell the makom to the guy. You rent him the location, because even if you sell the chametz to the guy, it's in your house. It's in your house. You're still over in Baal Yeirah, Baal Yeimotzei. I don't own the chametz, but it's in my makom. So what's the solution? The solution is you rent to the guy the place where it's resting, the location where it's resting. So that's a problem, because it's really it's bad enough that when you sell the chametz to the guy that it's a harama, because the guy knows the whole spiel, and he's anyway not giving you any money for it anyway. It's just basically it's a loan, it's an outstanding loan. But if you sell a person property, location, and you don't have the keys, that's not much of a sale. People make a mistake and they think, no, the rabbis that I know do not ask you to give you the key. I know there are rabbis that ask you for keys. They ask you for the alarm combination. You might as well throw in a credit card also. The rabbis, there are definitely rabbis that stretch it a little bit and ask you for keys and your telephone number. He can contact you or what this. Most of them do not. 90% do not go that far.
The one that I have has phone number and email.
Phone number and email. Okay, this is a new chumrah. You never did this. Years ago.
It wasn't on that phone last year.
What, the phone number and the email?
Yeah, it's a new one.
It's a new, I thought the email wasn't on there. The phone number. Years ago, you all remember, they never asked you to put down your phone number. I'm sorry, I don't think anyone ever. This is a new thing, your phone number. Phone number, email, and this and that. They never. Now, if you ask the average person why, so know what they're going to say. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say because it's their chametz. They have to have access to the chametz. Wrong. That's not the reason. That is not the reason. That is not the reason why the rabbi is asking you for the phone number, your email, and the alarm password, and the keys. That's not true. They own the chametz, and they can't get it. Too bad for them. They can't get it. The reason why they want the phone number, the email, is because you're renting to them the location where it is resting, so that you are not in violation of possessing, not the own. I don't own it. If I cannot access you have to trust what it says in the safe. I can't go spend. I'm not qualified, obviously, to go look every little detail. But the way it's presented in the Avnei Yeshayim is that when it comes to ownership of chametz, it's no big deal if it's locked up and you can't get to it. I bought some Cheerios and it's locked up in a vault somewhere and I don't know where the combination is. Big deal. Do you own the Cheerios? You own it. I can't get to it, so I can't get to it. Too bad, I own it. But if I rent space, I rent property, land, and I can't get into the land, that's not called a transaction. That's already a kuchutul, that's a harama. There are tzrei dinim in the mechira. You're selling the chametz to the guy, but that's not going to solve the problem for you because the guy can still come into the house. Okay, it's still in your possession. It's a guy's chametz, but it's in my possession. The halacha is you're not allowed to possess your own chametz, and you're not allowed to keep in your rishus the chametz that belongs to other people. It's not allowed to be lo bal yeiro bal yeimotzei, no one's chametz. In your house. Lo yer el lecha, in your house. Not necessarily. There are different levels of, there are different layers. It's a beferish. You're not allowed to, chemsoy shel akum in your rishus is asa. You're not allowed to keep the chametz of a guy in your possession. And therefore, lechatchila, get it out. Now, no, you can't do that. It's not practical what to do. So this has been an age-old question, what to do. So some were very, very lenient, and they said, you put it in a corner, and you tell the guy, just come take it. So since it's only being stored there temporarily, we don't rely upon this, it's in the corner, it's not considered that it's in your house. When something is there, you know, the delivery, Amazon delivers it to the wrong house. You get so it's on the porch, it's in your house. Is it cool that you possess it? So someone to suggest is that no, I'm not selling, I'm not renting the house to the guy, I'm not giving the possession, but because he's been told to come pick it up, come take it, here it's yours, for the temporary period of time that it's resting in my property, this is not called lo yero el lechos or bal yero bal yematzei.
If someone
comes away for a whole Pesach in the house, but you have to specify in which part of the room the comes.
The whole house? No, you don't. You give the whole house. You rent the whole house to a guy.
Rent it.
You rent the whole house to the guy.
Sell, or else it's not your house.
You rent it, or you sell. Or some say that renting is not enough. You have to sell the house.
Really?
Oh, so you go get a lawyer for $10,000 to go sell the house? So some say you don't have to do a legal transaction. You do a Yiddish transaction. Who cares about the Goyim? Who cares? You do it in halacha. I'm not joking. This is what it says. Okay. Everything you touch over here is explosive. So it used to be, it seems, that when they first started selling chametz, they were very lenient in this matter. The old shtaros did not make any mention of renting the location where the chametz is resting. Because in the world of halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, it is only called a violation of Yira Bal Yimotze if there is more of a permanence. It's secure. I have in the basement shelves, and we're storing it there, and it's locked up. Then that's called, you're in violation of holding in your possession the chametz of a guy. But if the chametz of the guy, you can't get into the house. The door is locked. You have to, you know, call me up. You know, it's in my house, but it's only put in my house with a presentation that it's here, come pick it up. That is not called ba'ira. Where do you divide the line when you call permanent, not permanent? It's a very hard line to define. And that's why today, beyond the shadow of a doubt, we don't rely upon that anymore. And we actually rent the location where it is resting. Now you right away jump, you know, rent, you mentioned with alcohol. Once you're getting into all the legal terms, you know, you have to report to the government, din de malchus adina. One of the best moments I had in my life was, it's not a best moment, I'll just joke with you, is my father, Achmal son, my father was ill, he was very, very sick the last year of his life, and he told me to fill in for him for Mechiras Chametz. To do, you know, people will come to sell the chametz, to just be there, and to do the Shtar Harsha, you know, to pick up the handkerchief. By picking up this handkerchief, do you authorize me to be your agent in selling your chametz to a guy and renting to him the location where it's resting? So authorized, they pick up the handkerchief, they pick up the pen, so authorized. And you write everything down, and you give me some money. So then there was a person there who wasn't from, and maybe he was on a journey to first becoming from. He was an older person, he wasn't a youngster, and he was a very intelligent person. And he was very intrigued with this whole Mechiras Chametz. And he sat down with me, and he said to me, I said, tell me, what exactly are we doing over here? So I started explaining, and then I told him, you know, you write down any chametz you may possess, you may have stock. I thought it's a German chumra. Maybe you have stock in a company General Mills, they have chametz. And he says, this transaction, is it binding according to the government? I said, it very well is. My father did it really mamish, but oifan mochuder ad ma'ot. He had his own shtaris, everything mamish. My father was an economist. He was very into this. I said, it very likely is binding according to New York State and the federal government. This is serious business over here. We're selling your chametz to a Gentile. He will own it, and he will legally be leasing the location where it is resting. And he kept on asking over, and after a while, after I really, this is the real deal. And he says, gets up, I can't do this. I can't do this. Who knows? I'm going to sign these documents, all my stocks, my property, this legal documents. I don't trust you. Who knows? This is a scam. I'm signing away. Who knows? I'm signing away my home, millions of dollars, stocks, all my assets. I signed this and I do this transaction. He says, this is the real deal. Who knows? Who are you? Who I can trust you? This is some scam here. And he gets up and he runs out. And I said to myself, wow, Baruch Hashem. That's right. This is the real deal. And the way he reacted, like you saw his eyes, like like lit up. Like, this is real. I'm really selling, giving over my chametz and my property to a guy. Who knows who's the guy? Is he gonna sell it back? Who are you? What's going on here? These are documents. The government's gonna come after me.
You're lucky you didn't hit you.
That's right. That's right. This is the real deal. And he walked out in a huff and a puff. It was so satisfying. Because unfortunately, a lot of things that we do today are just, you know, smoke and mirrors, make believe. That's right. What? I said, you won't be chai bali bali motze. You're a religious person. This is the halacha. So this is a very serious issue. So the reason why you're giving your keys, they don't do this today, but people giving their keys, or they're demanding, they want access and your phone number, your email, it's not because of you need that for the chametz. No, you need that in order to make the rental of the location of where it is resting. You need that to be real. So that is, it's not the chametz, it's the rental that you need to go give over your telephone number and the email so he has access. If you don't have access to real estate, you don't own the real estate. Chametz, you don't need to have access to your movable items. So I don't have access, so I can't get this in the vault. I own it, Shulchan Aruch is very generous. You can't get into the vault, so you can't get into the vault, it's yours. But if you own an apartment, you own a real estate and you can't get there? No, you don't own it. That's why they're machmir upon you to put down your telephone number and your email. Not for the chametz. It's for the access of the rental. Now, because we only want one more thing. Now, listen, running out of time, this is very important now. When I started, the rabbi told you, you know, I'm going to sell your chametz. But I want to tell you something. Just because I'm selling your chametz, and you cleaned up your house, and you're going away to Florida, and you're selling your house. You're selling the whole house. You're selling all the chametz in the house, and you're renting to the guy the whole house, and you're selling all the chametz in the house. You're renting whatever, and you're going to Florida, and you possess nothing. So the rabbis, don't forget to say kol chamira. Rabbi, why do I need to say kol chamira? I have nothing. I'm going to Florida. I have nothing. The house I'm renting to the guy with everything inside, I'm relying upon you. And by the way, the translation of the chazite udelo, this is also a shock to me. They say beferish, the translation of the word dibiarte, which means I have removed, udeloi biarte, means what I have sold. Doesn't say that in the English translation art scroll. Dibiarte that I have removed. Excuse me, if you remove monofshach, if I removed it, so I don't need to say it. And if I didn't remove it, then you're in a lot of trouble. What does it mean? Dibiarte udeloi biarte. This is what he said. This that I have removed and what I have now removed. If you removed it, it's in the garbage. You don't need to say anything. If you didn't remove it, then you're in a lot of trouble. I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean you didn't remove it? You're an avarian. It's Erev Pesach, and you have chametz in the house, and you didn't remove it, and now you're just going to say, oh, I'm going to vatel it? What? Otu b'rishoy askinan. I'm keeping chametz in the house, like nothing ever happened, and dudulay b'yarte. I know you'll tell me all these kind of ludic perushim. He says the parashat is, d'b'yarte means what you sold. I got rid of it in a way that I'm not embarrassed, that I'm not upset. Even though you sell it, you still mevatel it. Now, I told you, so I said, Rabbi, why do I have to go say kol chamira? You're selling it for me. So I told you the typical standard template that the rabbi is going to tell you. Just in case, don't trust anyone, don't trust me, just who knows, I can make some foolish mistake. Maybe I'll be busy that morning, an emergency, I won't even sell the chametz. Who knows what could happen? Just say it. Just in case the transaction doesn't go through, udeloy biyarte. Whatever is in the house should become bottled, just in case. So that's the pasha pshat. But there's another pshat, which I don't think it's lahalacha, but it's very, very deep. It's a very, very deep pshat in halacha. And you really probably could write a whole sefer on stating this, and that is, everyone is the question that this mechira is a joke. okay, this mechira is a harama. What's going on over here? You go give the guy, you're selling the guy chametz that can be, maybe it is, maybe it's not, it can be worth an enormous amount of money. People are very wealthy, they have, who knows what they have, wine cellars, they have schnapps, liquor, they have assets, maybe they have stock, maybe they own store, a pomegranate, how much chametz they're selling the pomegranate over there. You're selling over there $100,000 at least worth of chametz. Okay, we're talking big money. Big money, real, and this is a liquid assets. What?
It's gotta be more than that.
Whatever it is, we're dealing with real stuff. So you go to the guy, and you tell the guy, listen, we want to sell you $1 million. This is real stuff. This is not a joke here. Real, it was $1 million. I got $1 million. I'm on welfare. I'm on food stamps. I don't got $1 million. Don't worry. Let's begin this process. We're going to give you a gift. Here's $10. $10, give you a gift, give you $10. Just make a down payment on the $1 million of real chametz. Give me $2, and you can take home the $8, keep it, go buy yourself, whatever you want to go buy yourself. Just give me a down payment of $2, and the rest you'll owe us. Zok von alav b'milveh. Kinyan kesef. Kinyan, you have to pay the whole thing? You don't have to pay the whole thing. Look at the banking system today. They say today, after this whole scandal came out, they say there's basically at least $2 trillion that doesn't exist.
Make-believe money.
Ate up all the bank accounts. They ate up all the numbers in all the major banks. Ate up their balance sheets. It's at least $2 trillion more than the money that really exists in this, that really exists. Which means when people want their money, the whole country will go down the tubes in a second. It's a pachat pachad. It's make-believe money. They all claim they have money they don't have. They claim they have money they don't have. Crypto is b'chlal make-believe. But it's really no difference. It's all make-believe. Pella, right? So you tell, zakhvan Allah b'milveh. And halacha, all you need to do is give me $2 and the rest is going to be an outstanding loan. What? The goy, really, this in the world of Shulchan, there's a very important yesod. Gemiras das. You have to be serious. If you can prove in court that the guy wasn't really serious, then the transaction is very, very questionable. And when you're dealing with an Isser Deraisa, a Bal Yimotze, you don't want to play games. Yet, that's the way we do today. You give the guy, the guy doesn't even give his own money. The rabbi first gives the guy money to pay.
Unless you deceive the person and he can prove that, otherwise it's going to
it's still called the haram. The word haram appears only 1,000 times in every sefer that talks about the Chiras Chametz. How in the world does this mechira really work? And it says, by the way, we read the Tosefta. The Tosefta tells the guy, the Tosefta says the Pharaoh should do a harama. The Tosefta says, I'll make it worth your while. Whatever those words mean, you buy for money, two money. What's going on over here?
Does the guy believe it's a real transaction?
That's the question. First, my father over the years had many, many goyim that he used over the years. Not many, he had a whole collection of them. And the last kufa, he had a very intelligent guy, a real PhD guy. And the guy really thought it was for real. And I don't know why he went through with it. The guy really did a lishma. It's a very interesting, you get a whole book on stories and the mindset of God. It hurt me to no end when I once saw online on Matziv, they showed like the video of a certain Rav selling the chametz to a guy. And I was spoiled. I grew up, my father, he did it with such perfection and a lot of dignity. It was very, very choshev. And it took a very long time. Also, Gansa Maisa, and I saw on Matziv, they had a video showing, oh, this Rav is selling all the chametz of the whole chves. I'm not going to go say who was and what. And I was like, what? Like, this is a joke. This is mamish a joke. This is not the way you do it. It's very sad. You're right. It's a problem. It's a haram. So here is the chiddush that he says over here. He says a pelodic chiddush. He says the mechira and the bittul, and this requires way over my head, but it's a yesod that explains a lot. The mechira is not a complete mechira. The bittul is also problematic. Because if you have a lot of chametz, who says there's a gemiras das? It is the combination of a mechira with a bittel that accomplishes the biarte. Each one by itself is lacking. The mechira is a harama. But like you said, so what, it's a harama? You've never been scammed before? So, do you get back your money? No. It is what it is. There is, now, how that works, the average approach is the mechir is 100%. The bittul is 100%. Do both just in case one doesn't work. There's no combination. He shows here in a very sophisticated way that there's such a thing as doing as a mechira, that's a harama, which accomplishes as a hashlama to something else. Whoever said that the mechira was meant to stand on its own, the mechira is nothing more than a hashlama to a bittul. You mevatel it, but there's a question: is the bittul really b'lev shalem? It's more than that. I didn't spend enough time analyzing it's more sophisticated than just saying that it's not a complete gemira stas, and a mechira of a harama fills in the gap. But it's a synthesis of a bittul with a mechira to get, and harama is good enough for that. You don't need to do a real mechira. If you need to do a real mechira, you got to get the government involved. You got to go do A, B, C, D. You don't need a real mechira. You just need a mechira that is begeder harama to be mashlim a bittul which has a chasarin. We're not doing a real mechira. We're doing bittul. And the mechira is the hashlama to the bittul. And a harama is more than you need, more than enough. And that takes away a lot of the problems of the harama that we do find ourselves involved with when we do the mechiras chametz. Okay, what I told you is not lahalacha. That's not the way people, you say this, they're not going to want to hear this. They're going to say, no. The mechira is a mechira, the bittul is a bittul, ha'ilchud v'ha'ilchud, oh, but the bittul is not so good. Good enough. The mechira is a harama. Why is it a harama? It's not a harama. It works. Government, who cares about the government? This is a religious topic. We're doing Baal Yirah, Baal Yimotzeh. For Baal Yirah, Baal Yimotzeh, it's good enough. It's 100% good enough. It's a different mahalich. It's a mach. If you're very sophisticated in Shulchan Aruch, you understand Chesh and Mishpat on your fingertips, then you can understand the enormous depth that's involved over here, that there's something in Shulchan Aruch called a mechira of harama. And it's a mechira. It's not a mechira ma'amamir, but it's good enough. And when you already have a bittul and there's a chasan, the two are, they synthesize a religious service and they work together to achieve a goal. The details need to be really worked out to explain, but that's, at least it's an idea.